It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
All right, welcome to another edition of Wisdom on Replay here on ESPN 94.7. Coach Jim is here with me this morning.
You can introduce Nostra Thomas. So
he's a little under the weather.
Yep.
So we're
Big
wishing
Tommy's
him
a little beat up.
Yeah, we're wishing him well. He'll be back next week.
I don't know if I can go on without him, Carl. You know that. It's kind of like Batman and Robin. So I hope my buddy's feeling better. He was going to try and do his best to wing it today, but he got NyQuil'd up and he's out of commission. So he asked us to carry on, and we're going to get rolling. We want to talk about a couple of our sponsors first before we get really moving. Cafe 422. In Candywood Wine Cellars, my good friend Damon LaRiviere at DNR Audio, Gatta Trucking and Levy Steel, Masters Tavern, Sherry Gordon, and also Perlene Paving. We'll get to some more at the end, but we want to sit and talk about, me and Carl are going to chat a little bit. I know Carl's dying to hit me with a question, so we got to get the show moving. But today's guest, young man by the name of Benjamin Herman, out of the Canfield area, one of the most prominent players in the community right now. He is attending Lafayette University out by Philadelphia. High-end academic, high-end athlete, son of Jeff and Amy. He's been a client of mine for a little while. His rocket ship has taken off. He's been a little all over the world playing baseball. His coaches love him. Community loves him. And we're going to talk about his path, about how he's gotten where he's gotten. It wasn't an easy or a direct one. He wasn't always the kid that was at the top of the food chain, but through an unbelievable work ethic and just sheer get after it, he's molded himself quite a career, putting himself in a position to go on and play professionally down the line. So, hi, Ben.
Thanks for having me on, Carl. Coach.
You're welcome.
You got it. No question. I'm sure Tommy loves you. Tommy watches you hit all the time, and he's just like, wow. He doesn't say it, but he specifically comes in to the building at Diamond Nine at the Den to watch you absolutely lopside balls for like an hour. So, but cool. So, Ben, how old are you?
I'm 19 years old.
Tell us about your process, because it hasn't been an easy one. I mean, we've been together since you were 7, 8 years old. You were a Canfield kid in a hotbed of baseball. Much like we talk about with Landon Beetleshays, you were not the first guy on the district team. It was always a battle, you know. When you were a younger, great athlete, but had to rein it in a little bit. You've been to a bunch of great people that have done wonders with you. Your mom and dad have done wonderful people. You, your brother, just great family, I can tell you. One of the best families I've ever had involved in my business. Tell us about your high school travels, because you weren't at just one place.
Right. So I was actually at Canfield for my whole middle school. And then I decided to switch over to Ursuline, and I went to Ursuline for my freshman and sophomore year, but decided that it wasn't the best fit for me after all, and then I eventually transferred to Boardman for my junior and senior year.
Theoretical senior year.
Right.
We got to get into that. That's one of the greatest plays of all time. Go ahead.
So, but yeah, I was an undersized kid, and Canfield at the time was just, you know, just
loaded with a lot of players
everywhere.
Highly competitive, yeah.
And in middle school, I really just didn't like it. I didn't like playing under Canfield guides. Their coaching just never gave me the best time, so I just kind of wanted to find a way out, and I did. And Ursuline, it was a step that I'm grateful for, but it wasn't for me at the end of the day, and I'm super grateful landed on Boardman eventually, because Joe Gabriel, he
recognized your talent.
Right.
I don't know, and like I said in this, this is a different story, because we're used to hearing these stories of a kid lives in a community, goes to a school, he stays there the full 4 years. Ben's path was, he knew he had a gift. The problem being is, you know, the way people see things and the way things, you know, you look at a Troy Aikman that was the fifth string quarterback at Oklahoma, and he leaves to go to UCLA and becomes a Hall of Famer. This is kind of that story. It wasn't it was a bad situation, people. It was the depth chart was not going to be very provocative for Ben Herman. So he took a couple. And then he landed, and it's what you're seeing in today's society. It's not a matter of loyalty. It's a matter of, hey, this is all great and dandy, but I want to do this at a higher level. I can't be the third. I can't be the third baseman or the third catcher, you know. So he found a home at Boardman with Joe, and Joe absolutely lightning struck his talent, and that's where the basic he started to acquire. His body caught up with his brain, and it turned out pretty well for him.
I completely agree with that. As I said earlier, I was always small, but
small. You are small. When you say small, yes, he was an average size kid. If we were doing the visual end of this, which we'll be doing soon, you would see Ben is not small now, and that was a result of his hard work. And also, he had another sport. You talk about multi-sport people. This is a unique one, but it was very, very important to his development as a baseball. He swam, and his mom was a great swimmer. He's a great swimmer, but baseball was his priority. But swimming allowed his body to develop different than a kid in an average weight room. He lifted, but then he lengthened out his muscles through the swimming ordeal. Mm-hmm. And I would tell you, if you can have somebody do that, I would highly recommend. Every player I've ever had that combined baseball, proper weight training, and swimming all turned out to be very elastic, very electric athletes. And he is one of the most electric athletes I've ever coached.
I 100% agree. I mean, swimming really, I swam my whole entire life, and it built a different type of muscle. I all the time I say, you know, kids ask me, you know, how do you throw, you know, harder, right? It's not just the weight room, it's swimming, it's the countless strokes. I mean, let me tell you, I was in there every single day in the pool, every single day.
It's quick twitch, and that's what that creates. You don't see high-end swimmers that are offensive linemen, you know, that big body build. They're very wide receiver, very quarterback, quick twitch, and there was no question. But people have to understand, he was committed. I know dietary, time he worked out, his workouts. I have to back him down sometimes working with me. He'll get mad. He'll go, 10 more. I'm like, no, you're done. One more. No, you're done. And that's just the way he approaches things. Now, the other thing that when you talk about a role model with this young man is he's a high-end academic, one of the smartest players I've ever coached. Sometimes too smart, thinks too much, but that's everybody. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your academic trajectory, because that's the one that one never leaves you. Sports are going to leave you. Academic trajectory never leaves you. Fire away, Big Ben.
I was always, you know, when I was in middle school, I was a brighter kid.
Brighter? He was moderately intelligent. That's the term we'll use.
And I thank my parents for that. You know, they had me reading books when I was young. They had me, you know, talking young. And I just kind of grew up with an academic mindset, always do good in school, always, you know, work hard, study. And I think that really paid dividends, because I could go to a school like Lafayette, which is high academic, and set myself up for a future after sports, after baseball. And I think the only thing that I really dislike about, you know, being, I guess, a little bit smart is that I think too much, as Coach said. And
we're always working on that.
In sports, you know, that's probably the biggest the biggest thing is not thinking. But I'm really grateful for once more my parents' support and how they've given me a chance to succeed on the field and in the classroom, you know, every single year.
Absolutely, because your mom and dad were both good athletes. I know, and I know your dad did athletics. I've never asked your dad all the laundry list of athletic things. Your mom, I know, swam at a very high level, and they had a development. Now, the unique thing here is when you talk about. I know, and one of the things that him and I have always bonded on was our parents started us young in school. When he was a senior, he was 17. I was 17. My mom and dad started me in school at 4 years old. His mom and dad started at 4. And I was never a big kid. I went through probably a second puberty when I was about 21. And I, you know, I started to go a little east and west instead of north and south. Now, what Ben took, now this is a trek I have talked and recommended, and people don't hear me. Ben, over the years, like, we never got into it deeply, is if you're a kid from up north and you really want to do this for a living, and especially now with these new portal rules, what Ben did was, he was at what we call a year young senior. Now, he looked like he was 25, but he was 17. So he was always year off. I was that way. I was always playing with bigger guys my whole life, which was great as a player, but eventually, you know. So in the case with Ben, Ben's mom and dad, I know over the years they had talked to me about the IMG Academy in Florida, which has what we call post-grad academy, where a kid graduates from high school, he goes and does baseball, he takes college courses, but it doesn't burn any eligibility. In football, you'll hear them, they're prep schools. There's some, but theoretically where Ben ended up is a prep school for baseball. And it's called Georgia Premier. And that would, I would tell, that was one of the most educated, wise decisions that I had parents that really looked into it. And it wasn't crazy. I mean, it was some money, but the IMG is crazy money. Mm. Because that's just state of the art. You're going to pay some loot. And they have multi-sport there. In the case of our friends in Atlanta that Ben worked with, much more reasonable. And the cool thing he had was he was taking college courses as already he was in high school. Gives him some freedom to kind of own his academic path. Then also was playing against players from all over the world. He had kids going to Vanderbilt. He had kids that were Dominican that came into Georgia and were paying to go to school and learn English. And mm-hmm. it put him on his own, too. Mm-hmm. It was a little more different than college. But the growth and the maturity I saw over that time was amazing. He went from a kid that was a really good high school player here, got down there, and then they took him. They went to the DR. They would go to minor league facilities at Georgia mm-hmm. Premier. I know you were in the Red Sox facility playing against kids that were in the academy with the Red Sox and also signed. And that's where he absolutely lit it up like the 4th of July. I saved the film there just to look at it and go, dang. Like, I have film of him when he's 8 or 9, and then I show the film of him at, you know, at George. And then I'm really looking forward to seeing these films at Lafayette. But what they've done as a family and what he's done as an athlete is just an amazing planning stage. And he's got people now that are going to offer him NIL and all this other stuff. And he may stay at Lafayette the whole time. If, you know, if he goes crazy, he may sign early or whichever, because he'll be signable as a sophomore in college, even though he'll be 20. It's a pretty neat deal. What made you guys, I mean, in talking to me, but what made it the final decision about the prep school route? And this is different than junior colleges, people. Mm-hmm. This is a different animal. So I want to talk to him about this.
So, yeah, it's basically a gap year, I guess you would call it.
There you go. That's a good term, gap year.
But as, you know, as I talked about, and I want to get into in-depth a little bit with this, but, you know, freshman year of high school, I was probably about 5'6", you know, 120 pounds. You know, just not a...
He was an eighth grader.
Right. So, you know, and I didn't hit, you know, I hit puberty sophomore year, but I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't, you know, the strongest at the time. And all this gap year did is it gave me a year to grow, not only in the game, but into my body a little bit. I learned how to live on my own. I learned how to cook. You know, right now, I could
live. Popcorn, but he cooked.
I could live on my own right now. Right. And, you know, going from high school immediately to college, that's a big jump. And it's
you and I both know that. We've seen a lot of names, a lot of people we know couldn't handle going away, couldn't handle being
right,
on their own.
Right.
And you made, when you, I, and there were times when I talked to you in Georgia, and you never said it to me, but I could tell you were kind of like, this is tough. But yeah, you experienced it without burning up any eligibility. Mm-hmm. You were still able to take college classes and make wise, and you got offers and make wise decisions about what your opportunities brought you now.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a tough year, and, you know, in all honesty, it was tough, but it taught me a ton, and that's all I could ever ask for, is just, you know, being able to get taught, you know, right? So I'm coming into college instead of getting a year to, you know, start to, you know, get my bearings and find myself. I had that in a gap year the year before. So I'm already coming into college. This year I just finished up my freshman fall and we're about to go into the spring, but I'm comfortable, right? I don't feel like out of place. I don't feel, you know, living on my own, living 6 hours away. You know, it's not a big deal for me because I was already 12 hours away. I was already, you know, seeing my parents twice in a semester, right? But now that's just normal to me.
Right.
And
oh, you've grown up.
Right.
And here's what I want all our listeners that are here about player development and kids and how they're managed. One of the biggest things, and I always say this with Ben, this is a big one. Ben, were you the best player in your community at 12 years old?
Not even close.
What made you great?
My work ethic.
Exactly.
And I think at the end of the day, it's just, you know, I was actually thinking about this earlier today because, you know, coming on the podcast, got to
think about what you're going to talk about.
Think about what you're going to talk about. But
we're good at this, Ben. Carl hasn't had to say a word. He hasn't had to fill in. We're getting good at this.
But, yeah, I think, you know, if you are the best player when you're 12 years old, you know, that's awesome. You know, keep doing that. Keep working.
Yeah, what would you recommend?
Ben,
what would you recommend with your path that you could tell people out there?
Just never, ever give up. Like, I was at Ursuline, and I, you know, on JV, still love the game, but I loved it so much that, you know, I decided to take it into my own hands, go to Boardman, and then just get to work. I didn't want to play college baseball until sophomore year of high school.
Very true. That's another point. This was not at 12 going, hey, Coach Jim. Because I can remember when he first started with me, I would get at him. I said, you know, people that come here are coming here to go to college or play pro. And I remember him looking at me. He goes, Coach, he goes, I don't know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then and the thing was, his mom used to come to me and go, Jim, she goes, I don't know if that line's going to work on Ben. Mm-hmm. She goes, because he's, you know, he can go swim. He doesn't have to do anything. He's going to go to school, blah, blah, blah. And we would laugh about that. But then once he started to have, I think the other thing too was, once he started to have unmatched success and see that he had worked himself into that guy, that then all of a sudden it was like, hey, this is plausible for me. And the thing that I say is I look at all the kids that were in your signing class. You know what I mean? That are theoretically, mm-hmm. they were all a year older, the guys you were around, mm-hmm. they were 2 or 3 years older. There's not a whole lot of them left.
Right.
Because they were always the guy and they couldn't handle when they weren't. Let your children accept and find hardship and fight through it. Mm-hmm. Let them do it. Don't feel bad for him. It's part of the world. And I can guarantee you, when Ben's done with his playing days, he's probably going to be running something that he's the top of the food chain at, because that's just him. He's going to find out what the formula is. And that's what I guess I have him here for, is to tell you people, there's more than just baseball and, hey, my kid's great and mm-hmm. he's the best in the area. It's a ladder to a happy life. An academic life, an economic life, whatever it might be and whatever it's going to be. And like I said, in this case, you know, I can remember going along and they're like, you know, Herman wasn't, I'd tell them, they said, Coach, why do you believe in Herman? He wasn't that good. I said, because he outworks you all. I said, and he doesn't stop. He leaves no stone unturned. And that's a very rare thing today. And I'm not blowing smoke up his behind, but like I said, if you went from where he was to where he is now, you know, and we talk about Mr. Beetleshays. It was the same way when he was young. And then he just never stopped. Mm. And now here he's, you know, he's property of the Atlanta Braves. He pitched in the College World Series. I mean,
great.
Yeah, and he blew by people. And I can remember guys, and the same with Ben, that they call me now and said, man, can you believe about Landon? Because I remember when I started hearing it, because Landon committed to what, Army, like in his 9th or 10th grade year? And I was like, wow, that's crazy. But then he found out the military thing and it was a little different and goes to Ohio State. Goes, mm-hmm. Today, there's so much more opportunity, but parents should get their kids in an environment that teaches them to compete and isn't just going to brush their arm and go, honey, it's okay. Ben will tell you something, you know, when he was little, you know, me barking at people. But it was one of the things he enjoyed because he knew I wasn't going to sugarcoat it for him. His little brother, who's a great athlete, I scared the living heck out of him. He didn't come around me for years. Mm-hmm. But we have a great relationship, and we have great relationships with all our people. But you've got to keep working and acquiring skill and intention and hard work. And I can't say enough about him. I can't say enough about his family. So what's your end game? What do you want to end up doing, Big Benny? How you want to run this out?
I'm taking baseball as far as it'll let you go.
Mm-hmm.
As far as it'll let me go. And after that,
You're going to end up the president of Lafayette University. That's what's going to end up happening.
I think another thing that it's super important to find out, and obviously kids, you know, they shouldn't know what they want to do when they're 15. But I think something that's really important for a kid to know is, what do you love? And when you love something, you know, I love baseball. I work out every single day.
No, I have to tell him to back it down. He'll come in and he'll have lifted like he was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he comes in and tries to do whatever, and his body's all beat up, and then he gets mad at me. I go, "You're done." And he gets mad at me. He's like, "Coach," I'll go, "What'd you lift today?" Upper body. I said, "Okay, you can't extend your arms."
Yeah.
Now he's yelling at him. I go, "Go, let's do baseball, and then you go lift." But sometimes in college too, schedules don't permit that, so you have to know how to monitor it. But let's go through a question and answer. Favorite player?
Michael Brantley.
Nice. Mm. That's a nice answer. That's a technician's answer there. If you had one person to model yourself after, who would it be? You could be a coach. You could be don't say me because you don't want to be me. You could be dad, your grandparents.
I would,
because your family's been highly successful.
I would really say, like,
the best version of you.
My whole family, my mom, my dad, my grandpa, my grandma, they are the embodiment of what I want to be when I grow up. I buy that.
That listen, people, that's not an interview answer. That's a true fact in this case. I can tell you he's saying that. Because they all have certain traits that everybody would want. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the things they've done and how they've acquired their education and their business savvy and everything else. He's dead right on that one.
Exactly. They're relentless workers at the end of the day. And that's, I think, no, that's, yeah, that's where,
that's,
I get,
it's instilled with you.
That's where I get it from. And as I was saying before, you know, when you love something, you know, go do that, right? So if I love cars, I'm going to go do something with cars. I love baseball. I work out every single day. I don't do it because I have to. And I think at the end of the day, that's the best life advice I could ever give. And that's exactly what my grandpa did. That's what my dad did. My grandpa, my dad, they love what they do. And that's why they're successful. So, and I think I just want to follow that path. Exactly.
Yeah, that's, like I said, I know, you know, the baseball thing I'd always kid about, you know, the Godfather. I keep trying to get out and they pull me back in. I wake up every day. It's not a job. I get totally what you're saying. Favorite food? All of it.
All of it. I like Philly cheesesteaks.
Okay, we'll go. Mm-hmm. Oh, and you're in Philly.
Yeah.
Whew. Thank God you got a fast metabolism.
All the time.
Favorite team?
Guardians.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
There you go. Mm. I was just getting to that. That's a great question.
This is a tough one, Carl.
You've had some good advisors.
Yeah. I can't really pinpoint like a specific quote or anything, but I think really just work hard.
Get after it.
Honestly. Yeah. And that's, once more, my parents, they just instilled that in me from a young age. And
you know, it's hard to find people that'll let you. Mm. You know, I think we'll agree with that you know, instructors and stuff like that, and they'll go so far and then they're like, "I'm not getting any more out of this." Good, you know. But then there's environments like ours where it's like we work steady, like people watch and it's just kind of a machine. Like, it's not people try to run through a wall or bench press 500 pounds, but it's the day to day, do it the same way.
Yeah.
Do
consistency.
It right. Yeah, consistency, get an approach and
right.
Hammer the nail the same way. Don't miss the nail. You know, we talk about stuff like that all the time. Mm-hmm. Let me see. I'm going to throw him one more good one. Then Carl's got a place to stump the Swami. Now, here's the other thing we didn't bring into this. Which would you rather do? Would you be Shohei and do what you do, because my man's got a bazooka and he can throw, and he's got a very bright future on the mound. But if you watched him be an athlete, would you want to be a two-way player? Would you want to be just baseball and hitting?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you just want to pitch? In your perfect world.
Perfect world, it has to be DH and pitcher. Just
there,
like
you go, Shohei.
And let me tell you, I mean, I love taking ground balls, you know, just as much as the next person. But, I mean, just
that's
two,
hard on an
two
arm.
Of my favorite things.
That's hard, I mean, on an arm.
I think the most joy I get out of anything is hearing that mitt smack when I throw a fastball.
Do you really? Here's the funny thing, people.
Hearing that barrel.
I've never asked him this question because he's been with me. Like, I've worked with him pitching. Not as much, but hitting. And if you were to watch us work, you would sit and say, it's the first time you ever told me that. So, but, yeah, that's a great answer. And there's something, as long as we've had a relationship, I did not know that was it. And that's awesome. I know you love the sound of a bat.
Oh, yeah.
But if the smack of the mat, yeah, giving that up, I can understand. And the thing is, you don't have a lot of wear and tear on your arm. So What we're going to revert to now is my dear friend and compatriot, Mr. Carl, is going to try and stump my caffeine-filled mind right now and see what we can get with this.
Okay, so there's two potential answers to this.
Uh-oh.
What is widely considered the rarest play in baseball?
Unassisted triple play.
Ah, very good. The other one...
don't mess with the big kids, Carl.
The other one would be hitting a home run from both sides of the plate in the same game.
Yes, but I knew the first one.
Yep. Very good.
That's the question?
Yeah, that was it.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh.
I got you last week.
Yeah, you stumped me last week. But this one, you saw I was prepared. As soon as you... And I didn't think about, you know, the switch hit. Eddie Murray hit a home run from both sides. Yeah. We're going to talk more, obviously, in our times coming up, and Tommy, it wasn't the same without you, big boy. Not that we didn't do a bad job, and Ben's a great guest, and I know you would have had fun with him because you love Ben. We want to talk about some of our other sponsors. The Den, my good friend Jesse Giacomo, that gives us the home we're in to run our fantastic program, Getting Kids Better. The one thing I want to mention, and I need everybody to hear this, we are having our open house for our grand opening at the Den. We've been there since the summer, but we've been so busy, we didn't really take the time to have a grand opening. Now, in this grand opening, people, if you have anybody, if you know anybody, if your own children, they want to come and learn, boy or girl, come and play baseball or softball, we are taking up to 80% off memberships so that nobody can't sign up over economics. Okay? Also, equipment sales, bats, gloves, everything like that. Come and see us. Name your price. Name your price, what you're thinking of, because we got it all. And we have until Monday with all the grants, all the savings, everything like that. It is very important that we do this so that we can continue helping kids the way we do, because not all kids can afford coming to us. And that's what some of these sales do, is help fund the underprivileged, the kids that need the help, that need the guidance, that need the maintenance, that want to be a part of something. Remember, when you come and buy with us, you're helping a child. You know, as much as we can through NCAA and everything else guidelines. But I want to say thank you. You guys have been great over the tremendous, tremendous growth we've had with this show as we keep moving. And also following the post, you can catch us on, you can catch Tommy and I on Facebook. There also is a Diamond 9 page. There is also an Instagram page. There is a fantastic, if you need to reach us, the phone number is 330-766-6790. Call me. We're all ready for you this weekend. Come and see the place. Come and hang out. Come and work out for free. But please, come and support us so that we can help the community. We will talk to you soon. I want to thank my main man, Ben Herman. And Carl coming up with the big-time question today. I just knew the answer to that one. The other one he got me.
You got lucky this week.
I got lucky you asked a question that I knew.
Yeah.
So, to my man, Tommy, feel better. I love you. Take all the NyQuil you can. Get well, because we've got a big weekend. Hopefully, you'll get cured up. And come help me over at the open house. And Ben will be around. If anybody ever wants to come and meet him, come see him. I call him, you know, Brad Pitt, good-looking kid, always wears a stocking cap, long hair. If he doesn't make it in the academic, he can go act or be a spokesmodel. I don't know. Maybe he'll be a spokesmodel for me. But we want to take the time to say thank you to everybody and make sure everybody has a great weekend.